Can we talk about how trauma can specifically spark ADHD?
I don't know that I would say that it sparks ADHD.
Okay.
But there, I think a lot of people, now that ADHD is becoming more commonly talked about and like really common on social media for people to be sharing their stories, and then people see those videos and they're like, oh, I resonate with that. Does that mean I have ADHD? And just recognizing that it's complicated. Like, there's a lot of things going on in our lives that could be causing us to exhibit the same traits or behaviors, have the same types of challenges that someone with diagnosable ADHD. So diagnosable ADHD, meaning you hit all of the diagnostic, you know, markers. Yo, hey, mommy don't slap today. Yo,
hey, mommy don't slap today. All right, all right, all right. Welcome to the show.
Hi, y'all.
Hey, hey, hey. The world may not need another podcast, baby.
But it definitely needs a slap. A slap in its huge face.
That's right. Welcome to Slap the Power. How you doing, Maya?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
I like your scarf choice.
Thank you. Thank you. It's gotten cool, and I'm excited
it's
about...
Gotten cool, it's gotten adjacent.
Cool-ish. Right, right, right. But it cool enough to where I was like, can I wear a scarf today? Has it officially crossed the line? And in the morning, I would say that it's a firm yes. It's a strong yes. Middle of the afternoon, definitely. I felt I walked into Whole Foods and I was like, I felt a little like, am I a little bit too early for this look?
Okay. Let's back up. My man's in a scarf said,
yeah,
I walked into Whole Foods and felt like this was too much.
It was a little too early. I'm like, do I need a couple more weeks? Right. I need a couple more weeks.
My name is Privilege. How are you?
No, I'm saying, are we at the point now where Whole Foods is privilege? Is that it?
Absolutely.
Okay. So if, for the record, the reason I was in there was I was returning an Amazon purchase. I wasn't actually buying any of their overpriced food. I was returning an Amazon thing. So, no, it's all good. But
I had to just tease you. It was fun.
I love it. But I was trying to figure out. It was like, am I a couple of weeks too early before the scarf?
No, LA has trader weather at this time.
Right.
So you almost have to dress in layers. Like you need a t-shirt and then a tank top and then a cardigan.
Right.
And then a shacket.
It's
and then
layered.
A scarf.
Yeah. It's layered.
That's and then a jacket slash coat.
I do love the scarf though, because you can kind of be, you can still have the thin shirt. And
I like
still...
the Lenny Kravitz big ass scarf.
Yeah. No, it's a blanket.
It
doubles as a blanket.
I mean, also Lenny Kravitz.
Lenny Kravitz, let's be real. On the show today, this is something that's really near and dear to my heart. We talk about it a lot. Most of the things we do on the show are kind of near and dear to our heart. But this one is, I feel like the internet has broken our brains. Right, we talk about this, and to me, notifications on a cell phone, there's actual data that this has reprogrammed our brains. As human beings, neurologically, it's reprogrammed our brains. And so on the show today, we actually have her name's Sarah DeGrave. We're going to be interviewing her in a little bit. And her main focus is on ADHD and creatives and entrepreneurs, basically trying to live a world where it's not a bad thing. ADHD isn't bad. As a matter of fact, it's, you know, amplified, and you figure a way to compartmentalize that and make that work for a lot of people that have ADHD. And I can probably say inside our house, there's, you know, we definitely pop back and forth. You know, you've met my girl. We pop back and forth from things very quickly. And so I'm interested to see what Sarah's got to say.
Well, I also think that in this day and age, I feel like everybody has ADHD to some effect.
Right.
Because we're just processing so much more information than we ever have been.
Right.
And I don't think I have ADHD, but I definitely have to put limits on my phone.
Yeah.
And limit certain noises or whatever, because I've just noticed that I am so easily distracted. I mean, all it takes for me to be just like my puppy is squirrel, and I'm just out like squirrel.
No, that's what I'm saying. And it's hard, because I've had to really work, and I know, like a lot of people, especially post-pandemic, it's like, you know, meditation, it's not a joke, because you're basically training your brain to, you know, kind of stay focused rather than getting pulled off all the time, pulled off point all the time, like looking at our watches or right. like our notifications on our phones that just pop up all the time.
And I mean, this thing alerts me, and it's helpful, you know, because you can kind of subtly look at things. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't need to know.
It's a huge squirrel. Yeah.
Because I don't need to know that such and such liked my photo.
Right.
Like, who is such and such? But I also feel that we are always going to have to put in new ways to be more efficient.
Sure.
Especially because information is constantly and consistently so not only readily available, but readily in our face.
Yeah.
So you have no filter and there's no way to disseminate information. Plus, I also feel like there's been a trend in the last, like I would say 15 to 20 years from an education standpoint of not really training people to be critical thinkers. So not teaching people how to disseminate and digest these ideas. People just hop on bandwagons and believe whatever these people say,
yeah.
but never read into it and go, hey, hang on a tick.
Yeah.
What they talking about.
Yeah. No, totally. And you know, it's almost gotten to the point where real life experience sort of trumps so many things. People that are out there on the field, it's like, you know, if you can't do something, you can go to YouTube and kind of figure it out. For me, like I feel like, and I know we share this, like I feel healthcare, it should be a human right. It's kind of one of the focuses of our show. And as part of those rights, you know, I feel like artists, we have a unique position because oftentimes we don't have healthcare. And I know, especially as musicians, there's no real way for us to get healthcare. And in America, it's so expensive and everything. And so the last thing that kind of gets even thought about is mental health with artists that don't have any kind of healthcare and things like that. And so I'm interested in how, you know, we can sort of help ourselves. And you know, I'm very fortunate. My girl's got great healthcare, which means I got good healthcare. But if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have healthcare.
I would be.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be screwed. So looking forward.
I also am interested to hear how I think that there's a trend, rather, in developing techniques to assist ADHD with medication and therapeutic practices that I'm happy to see.
Yeah.
I'm happy to see that shift because I feel like a lot of people with ADD as kids or ADHD are just medicated without being told how to understand how to use this piece of information like a key rather than as an impediment.
Yeah, amen. Because in many ways it can be a gift, right?
That you're I think it is a gift.
Yeah.
I think that ADHD affects so many creative people because we have to process so many pieces of information to present a creative entity. So it doesn't seem like it would be that far off for a creative brain to have ADD of some kind or ADHD, but not being given any idea of how to utilize that or to quiet it down when you don't need to utilize it must be very debilitating. And I'm glad to see that it's being looked at as just having blue eyes as opposed to, you know, having the mark of the devil. Because I feel like for a while that's what it was.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. So coming up after the break, our interview with Sarah DeGrave. Stick around. Okay, all right. Joining us for the interview today, this one, again, we talked about it, ADHD, creatives. It's something that's near and dear to my heart, your heart, and everything. So joining us for the interview today, Sarah DeGrave. She's a theater artist, a creative life coach, and specialize in sort of, I guess you'll say it the best way, but specialize in ADHD and creatives. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Now, how did you specifically focus on this? Because it is definitely a hyper niche area, right? This is a hyper niche lane, of which it's incredibly interesting because, again, we talked about this in the earlier segment. It's the notifications on cell phones have changed our neurochemistry, and I know the internet has broken my brain, so I'm looking forward to hearing what you got to say of how creatives we can sort of build some space back into our life.
Yeah, it's definitely an intersection of a few different areas of my life and passions of mine and pain points of mine throughout my life of just like that's kind of, you know, what led me into this little corner of the world. And I do like I work with people outside of creatives and even outside of ADHD folks, but definitely the people I really love working with and a lot of what I focus on is working with creatives, and also what falls under that is like freelancers, people starting their own businesses, people who are trying to create something, oftentimes in isolation or like independently. And it's really passion fueled, but there's not necessarily a lot of external structure or support. And that can start to devolve really quickly when you have a creatively wired brain.
Yeah.
Well, and I imagine that COVID exacerbated a lot of this, because I know for me, I'm a type of person where I regularly schedule to be out of my house to create things, because I know if I'm in my house, the propensity for me to go on YouTube 12 minutes into my task is real high. And I also know that I would say a disproportionate number of creatives definitely have ADHD issues, because more creatives than not are like squirrel every time you talk to them about, like, you can't, you, it's almost hard to keep them on topic. So I imagine that COVID made that exponentially harder. So can you talk about some of the techniques that you have utilized to help people, especially creating something out of the ether when there was no place to go and you had to be home? You needed different coping mechanisms. So what were some of those coping mechanisms? Do you know? Or could you speak to that?
I think, well, you mentioned a really great point, which is you knew something about yourself. Like, you knew about yourself that certain environments don't work so well for you. And I think that's where it really begins, is building the self-awareness. And I like to talk a lot in my coaching and in my work about like developing radical honesty with yourself and really looking at what's working and what's not working, and accepting that on a level that maybe you haven't allowed yourself to accept it before. And I think a lot of people, when they get an official diagnosis or self-diagnosis, that kind of, there's a sense of relief, and that they suddenly like give themselves permission to say, you know what, actually, like, this way of doing things does not work for me. And instead of continuing to try to push myself to fit into this system, I'm going to allow myself to design a system that better suits what I know to be true about myself, which is that, like, I will get distracted, or I need a certain level of accountability. That's something that comes up a lot in ADHD coaching, is what level of accountability do you need, or like external support and structure do you need? Is it just you need someone to check in with, or is it you need a body double, like someone physically in the room or virtually? Working alongside, do you need to leave your house? Like, just, it starts with that. It starts with like learning how to actually identify your needs
and knowing yourself. I feel like there's a huge push to know oneself, to help yourself with something like this. But I love that there are new techniques that talk about ways that you can help yourself with the assistance of medication and therapeutic tools, because I feel like we either told people just suck it up, or we just heavily medicated them. And I feel like even people that we have heavily medicated, we didn't tell them how to utilize this medication in a way that was productive or, you know, advantageous even. So what are, do you feel like people are still turning to medication as a way of coping, or do you feel like people have decided, let me look at some of these behavioral traits in myself?
I think it's definitely becoming a lot more of the conversation to say, you know, medication is a yes and type of treatment. It's not it's not going to fix something. I mean, also like the kind of shifting the paradigm on, is ADHD something that needs to be fixed, or is it just like, you know, part of the natural spectrum of human diversity?
We were talking about that earlier.
Whereas I think it's like my wife plays a superhero in a video game, and it was the first with autism, a female character. So it would be like as if I likened it to like if Han Solo, you found out that Han Solo was on the spectrum, right? You know, you fall in love with the characters, and then it gives somebody kind of like it's like a superpower all of a sudden. And I feel like ADHD, especially even with my wife, is a superpower. And I know for me, it is too, because we create all this kind of stuff, but when nowadays, ever since the pandemic, we wound up having to be, as artists, we also had to be, video techs. We had to learn your writer. You had to be your accountant.
Advertising.
Your advertiser, your social media person, your marketer, and all this stuff.
And if you're a girl, you had to be your own stylist, hairdresser, and makeup artist.
Yes. Everything. And
costumer.
To me, that's jumping parts in my brain that don't function the same way, but yet I'm still getting pulled all over the place because the things need to get done, especially as we're all our own entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. How do you find situations like that is best handled? You know, it's because we have the discipline, you just maybe don't have the structure or the system.
Yeah, and sometimes it's I like to kind of, especially if I'm working with someone and they have a specific, let's say, project that they're trying to complete, creative project, and we kind of like go through the process, and it's kind of like designing experiments for yourself and seeing what works for you and what can I learn about what didn't work, and like where did the train go off the tracks. That's kind of the metaphor I use, is like, as I'm going toward my destination, like at what point do I just stop, and what's happening, like what am I feeling physically, what am I feeling mentally and emotionally, and kind of how can I use those cues to help me then identify the strategy. So instead of just like randomly throwing, here's, you know, the top 10 ADHD hacks. For
right, that somebody else such. Did. That, it's a Medium article, and you're like, yeah, that doesn't work for everybody like that. It's not one size fits all.
But it also sounds like structure is at the helm of this program, and finding not just structure in and of itself, not in an esoteric term, but really tailoring structure to you, tailoring how you see structure and how you best respond to it. So what are key elements that you ask people to look at when you're asking them to reevaluate how they structure things?
Yeah. And when I think of structure, it's really part of a broader like support systems. So I like to talk about building support systems.
Oh, I like that.
And those might be things like technology that can assist us, like apps and organizational tools, but it might also be relationships. So what relationships do you have that could be supporting you, whether it's
or hindering
that accountability,
you.
Yeah.
Accountability buddy, or yeah,
hindering
which,
you.
Yeah, sometimes
negativity.
That, like,
yeah.
And that's a thing with ADHD, is also sometimes trouble setting boundaries is a common topic of discussion. Mm-hmm. So like where do we need to set boundaries? Where are we people pleasing or being a perfectionist? That's a thing that comes up a lot. So it's like, where is like sneaky perfectionism coming in? But it's really like looking at, is it overwhelm that is the issue? Is it prioritization? Is it decision making? There are all these really kind of common ADHD challenges. And so looking at it through that lens, it can kind of help us determine what type of a challenge is this? And then what type of a strategy is going to work for that?
So for our listeners out there, and let's just say I see this on the interwebs because I am the squirrel like brain that I have, and what? I scroll all the time. It seems like, just from listening to you, I've noticed that you're looking at identifiers, structural support systems, and how they affect you. So how do we help people identify what are their helpful markers? Do you have any tips or suggestions?
I think it starts with kind of like looking at what's happening in your life. So it's like, it's an assessment.
Like a come to Jesus. Okay. I like that.
The accountability part especially is kind of interesting, especially for guys. Like I see how that plays out where we're just dumb and
but I think that's playing out for everybody. I feel like our society has moved us away from having normalized structure because of who that alienates.
Mm-hmm.
And And it's also made us not really critical thinkers, so we don't digest information in the same way or know how to digest information.
Yeah.
And we have to mitigate so much information being thrown at us. Where do you start? Do you know what I mean?
How does that not make everyone basically
I feel
ADHD?
Like everybody, my mom was saying that the other day. My mom is like in her 70s and she was like, I swear I have ADHD. And I said, well, I don't know who wouldn't in this day, these days and times. I just think that some people have a harder time using that in their lives. But I was watching once a TED Talk, and I wish I still can't find this TED Talk this day, but I'm gonna find it. But this guy had a really interesting point, and he said, you know, a lot of times we look at our character traits as flaws. So if you're a procrastinator, mm-hmm. you look at that as a flaw. Or if you're constantly broke, you look at that as a flaw. And he said, well, maybe what if instead we looked at that as a character trait or a key?
Mm.
You know that this is a thing about you. And now that you know that this is the likely reaction you're going to have in this scenario, what if you did other things to preempt mm-hmm. a negative reaction, knowing that this is who you are as a person? And I feel like mm-hmm. I wish that we applied that more to ADHD, because I think people just need to understand a little bit more about who they are as people, and it would help them figure out, okay, I know I don't need to eat sugar when I need to do this kind of project, because me and sugar don't align this kind of project. Yeah.
So it's that same, it's that building of the self-awareness and really looking at, I say like look at the impact, and that's kind of where it can inform what are you going to do with the information. So it's like pausing, noticing, like, where are these ADHD type traits, which may or may not be from like a diagnosable ADHD, because there are like trauma, whether physical or emotional, like that can show up in a very similar traits, or there are other, you know, just like you were saying, living in our modern world with all of the stress and all of like the pandemic changes. And
I feel like sometimes you get a free ADHD diagnosis with the purchase of a cell phone, right? I mean, it's kind of.
Well, now can we explore that a little bit more? Because I was looking just at your bio, and you do talk about the effects of trauma.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's something that needs to be illustrated a little bit more. So can we talk about how trauma can specifically spark ADHD?
I don't know that I would say that it sparks ADHD.
Okay.
But I think a lot of people, now that ADHD is becoming more commonly talked about and like really common on social media for people to be sharing their stories, and then people see those videos and they're like, oh, I resonate with that. Does that mean I have ADHD? And just recognizing that it's complicated. Like there's a lot of things going on in our lives that could be causing us to exhibit the same traits or behaviors, have the same types of challenges that someone with diagnosable ADHD. So diagnosable ADHD, meaning you hit all of the diagnostic, you know, markers and the DSM-5 or whatever they're on now, is going to be, there are a lot of overlapping traits with depression, with anxiety, with trauma. So I think it can be really confusing right now to be like, wait, do I have ADHD, or am I just like struggling with
response?
Life?
Or is it just really convenient to say that's why I was late? That's why I missed the meeting. Sorry, it's my ADHD. Like, I know people be throwing that around nowadays. It's like, sorry, it's my ADHD. It's like, well, that doesn't justify the fact that you just ran into the back of my car.
No, but there's also like, I saw this meme that my single girlfriends and I, we send memes to each other, because like at this point we're just like, we're fine to die alone. Like at this point it's great. Like it's cool. But we sent, my friend sent me this other one being like, I sit there and I look at God and go, God, why haven't you sent me the man, you know, my life partner or whatever? And God's response is, girl, I did send him to you, but you didn't like his eyebrows. And that's so mean. Like, I can find one small thing being like, his left dimple is weird, and then I can't focus the whole rest of the night, like, because all I'm looking at is like, his one tooth looks semi-dead. I don't know that I can talk.
What is a dead tooth?
I know what you mean.
You know what I'm saying?
But that one tooth is a little dead. That is funny.
It just looks a little gray and just not here.
Yeah.
So I can just focus. It can be one small little thing that distracts my focus from the totality
of this gentleman.
And, that would have been I guess, you know, in this day and age of looking up everything on WebMD, it's very easy to self-diagnose in a way that makes you think you're bad.
Yeah.
You know?
What I find really interesting around kind of the conversation around ADHD and getting it, I find it interesting that we feel like we need to have a diagnosis in order to justify having challenges in our life.
Interesting.
Or in order to justify asking for an accommodation.
Or just help.
I think it's very strange that, like, it's not just okay for everyone to just say, here's something I struggle with and I need help.
I would like help, please.
Yeah.
And then for other people to say, I believe you and I will allow you to have help.
Here's some help.
Sure.
Instead, we're like, you have to, like, prove to me that you have a reason why you are struggling. But, like, life is enough of a reason.
And not only do you have to prove it, it's like you have to prove it in triplicate and then go to this specialist who officially diagnoses it and then sends you to the first person you went to that signed the first form.
And you're like,
before we can talk about any of this. And it just seems like we're making it more difficult for people to help themselves than ever.
Yeah.
Which is ironic because ADHD... those traits make it difficult for you to jump through all the hoops. So it's like,
because
this weird,
you're like, okay, I'm just going to go back to watching YouTube because there's the latest video that says, I want to see your dick. And that seems more entertaining than staying on the phone with Health Net for 45 minutes. Because I've done that and it's terrible.
It's pretty entertaining though.
I mean, geez. So where can people find you and access to your services?
Yeah, my website is alignmentandalchemy.com, and that's also where I'm at on Instagram, which is probably the best place to find me in the interworlds, is at alignment_and_alchemy.
Okay.
On Instagram.
And we'll have this in our show notes so that if you're looking, if this is something that you struggle with too, we'd love to hear from our listeners about this. Tell us some of your discoveries with this, whether it was self-diagnosed or officially diagnosed. And we will continue to tell you our own struggles on the path of the squirrel. And I really want to thank you, Sarah, for opening my eyes to looking at this from multiple angles, because I think I was willing to look at it from a couple of different angles, but I didn't realize how vast
the spectrum is.
Yeah. To look at this, exactly.
Yeah, and even for the normalization of it in a way that makes the conversation something that is, you know, a discourse like this, because I know a lot of people, myself included, struggled through different parts of mental health and everything. It wasn't just that I was trying to get the Adderall prescription from the doctor. it is something that it is. I appreciate talking about it, and I appreciate the fact that it's like even on your website when I went there, there's the cool workbook that you actually give away, which I thought was really neat, because you can kind of sort of it's a way to ask yourself some questions that maybe you hadn't even thought about. And so we'll make sure to, like I said, put it in the show notes. And thank you for coming on and giving us a little light on this. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Sure.
Pleasure. You're so great. Awesome.
Take care. All right. Before that was great though.
That was really informative.
Yeah, I feel like I learned a ton, which was the objective there. But before we let everybody go, we can't leave without giving another episode of
Tour Stories.
So this week I'll lead off this week, and this is a particularly great tour story. For some of this that are really close to the know on Vintage Trouble might be aware of this one. When we very very first started off, it was right after the Jules Holland show and everything. We're all of a sudden playing all over London and things, and it's that first time where after the show, you get to, you're at the booth and everything. This girl, she comes up to us and she's like, will you sign my boobs? And this is like the dumbest thing ever, right? It's total Wayne's World and ever, but you're doing it and you're like, of course, you're gonna, you know, when you find, to quote Kanye, when you find yourself up at the food court, you might have to try a sample, right? So we, it was the band that was around, and you kind of signed, you know, not on the, you know, not the areolas or nothing, but you sign it, and then we're all done, and she's like hammered, you can tell, and she goes, she was like, and I'm sorry, what's the name of your band again?
Yay!
And you're like, okay, that meant...
I'd have been like, the Rolling Stones.
The Rolling Stones. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
so
amazing.
That's one of my...
I always feel like I would never ask anybody to sign my boobs because it is a very unreliable space. Hey. Like, I have to be wearing the right bra for them to cooperate.
Sure, sure.
Like, what kind of lotion did I use that day? Sure. That's a huge factor.
You don't want to be ashy boob.
No. Well, no, but like I feel like you'd have to be ashy boob for the marker to work. Like if you were too
sweaty,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or greased up. Like, you know, if you had the Shea cocoa butter lotion.
Right, sure.
You know, that Sharpie might be like slip.
And you ruin a Sharpie. Slide,
and then you've ruined a Sharpie. Yeah. And them things is like $8.
They're not cheap.
Insane.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a good one.
You like it? You like it?
Next time I'll be like, what's your band's name? I'm gonna come to all your shows.
What's your band's name again?
What's your band's name again? Thank you for signing, Millie. That's what I call the left one.
That's the left one. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. Again, do you have a tour story this week?
Oh, no, but I wanted to say to our listeners, if you heard any strategies in today's episode that you think help you deal with whatever ADHD tendencies you might have, let us know. We'd love to know which ones are effective.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So thank you guys for listening. We wouldn't be here without you guys. So thank you. And we'll see you next week.
Bye. Slap the Power is written and produced by Rick Barrio-Dill and Maya Sykes. Associate producer, Bree Corey. Audio and visual engineering and studio facilities provided by Slap Studios LA, with distribution through our collective home for social progress in art, Slap the Network. If you have any ideas for a show you want to hear or see, or if you would like to be a guest artist on our show, please email us at info@slapthepower.com. Yo!